Hi, this is Will.
And this is Jay.
Welcome to our podcast,
Not Just Sports.
Just two bros sitting down talking about everything, not just sports.
On this series, we'll be taking you with us on the trails and spills, highs and lows, disappointments and excitements at the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. And of course, there can only be one winner. So as you say in Nigeria,
breakfast will reach everybody. Welcome to today's episode of the World Cup series on your favorite podcast, Not Just Sport, with Will and Jay. I'm Will.
I'm Jay.
It's nice to have you guys with us after this lengthy break.
I feel like it was needed. Like, we need to take that break, like, take a rest of the back-to-back matches so that at least you could, like, recuperate and look back at the previous games and see how good it has been and how bad it has been, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because right now we're in the, let's say, the most important stages of the World Cup.
Definitely, and yeah.
These are only three games and you find yourself in the World... Two games and you find yourself in the World Cup final. Is that crazy?
Yeah, so... Well, we've come a long way from the opening ceremony, the first group fixtures and all of that. We've come a long way up until this point, and we still kind of have a long way to go.
Right?
Yeah, because we have quarterfinal fixtures today, tomorrow, then we have another break before the semifinal fixtures and all of that. So let's just dive right in. I think let us reminisce on the previous game.
Yeah, because we didn't get to talk about.
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about it.
Break off, and we said that we'll talk about this once the World Cup is back.
So. Yeah, the last round of 16 set of fixtures: Morocco, Spain, Portugal, Switzerland. We didn't talk about this.
That felt like the craziest among all, because as I said.
Yeah,
and you agree with me because. Normally, most people agree because it was like it seems like the obvious answer that the strongest countries were going to prevail and there was not going to be any upsets.
Yeah,
and then there was
surprisingly Morocco. But then I think we also like gave Morocco leeway.
Yeah, we didn't even fight in chance
because we didn't. I think we both agree that we didn't actually watch how the I think how do you progress in the group stage?
Yeah, like I think the only game we really paid attention to was that against Belgium.
Yeah.
And we paid attention to it because we knew that the Belgian team wasn't so good.
And yeah.
We expected them to get something from it. Yeah. But yeah, we predicted a 3-1 and I predicted a 2-1 in favor of Spain. So we still saw them competing.
Yeah, right? Making it hard for Spain to.
Well, that's the thing. All these countries, right? You know, when you come to the World Cup, we have different tactics.
Yeah.
But we saw Croatia last World Cup use the same tactics that Morocco did. And they found themselves in the final. When they knew they couldn't beat you, they held you till penalties, and then they won you there. And it felt like to me that Morocco was prepared for this, that this is what they wanted, because hell, Bono was something else. Like, we know everyone's talking about Diego Costa, you know, he's young, and how Chelsea wants to sign him, Man wants to sign him. Yes, we have seen how good he has been in the competition, but I felt like Bono has been under the radar, because many other goalkeepers have been talked about. We talked about him in the first game when they played against Croatia, the draw. And yeah, we remembered, okay, this guy was very good. He's in Sevilla.
Yes. Right?
And we forgot about him again. They went on to beat Belgium. No one talked about him, right?
Yeah.
And then, now here we are. Bono, heroics, winning the Man of the Match award, saving two penalties. And he actually went for the three of them, but... You cannot see what hit in the bar, right?
Yeah, he can. So,
yeah, like he was the star of the show. We know that there are other players that performed. But okay, I'll just have to say, for the Moroccan team, what do you think, despite the obvious defense, right? If you could single-handedly pick out a player that you feel like is the reason why they did not win that game against Spain. I mean, during the normal time of the game. Why do you feel that they didn't score? Because I would not say it's down to Spain's defense being very good.
Yeah.
So why do you feel like they didn't really score?
I think for me, goals change games.
Yeah.
So it's this kind of situation that if you score or concede, there's like this, there's this intensity that just comes into the game.
Yeah.
So like if you're one goal down, you're probably thinking, okay, I need to score to match the score line, you guys, or I need to score to win.
Yeah.
And then if you're one goal up, you're thinking, okay, should I go for a second goal or should I try and keep this one? And then it's so like in the process of all of that, the game changes.
Yes.
It's like in 0-0, you're like, well, as it's like this, no one has scored. Yeah, extra time, maybe penalties. But when one goal enters, it's like if Morocco had scored first in that game, I feel it wouldn't have ended the way it did with them going forward. I feel it would have sparked something in Spain, in the mind of the Spanish players, and told them, okay, oh, see, at this point, we actually need to score, even if it's like score to draw and go into extra time, but you get, we actually need to score and all of that. So I just feel like I feel like the goalless draw, and like that led to the event, extra time, and I feel like that goalless draw is actually what helped Morocco out. Because then again, I'm not sure anybody has seen the Moroccan team play penalties.
Yes.
So it's not something that has been seen. So we couldn't really predict how good they were on penalties. And for Spain, I think we were just building on like the players they had to be like, okay, yeah, if they enter penalties, at least.
But this, remember, this was the same Spanish team that played almost 7.
That's what I'm saying. Like we just carried that mentality into the game. You played Costa Rica 7. You played who else did they even play?
They played against Germany.
They scored.
It was supposed to score
against Morocco.
But it feels like Morocco doesn't have. We know Morocco's defense is stronger than Costa Rica.
Yeah, but still, you have young talent. You have young talent. But then I told you now that in the case of Belgium, it was like more young people playing old people.
Yes.
But in the case of Spain, like that's why I'm not really surprised about the 0-0, the 0-0 draw. Because matching intensity, all of that, young people trying to prove their capabilities, like on the international stage and all that. So I'm not really surprised I ended 0-0 anyway. But
what do you have to say about that guy, that Walid Chedira, the one that came in and missed a flurry of chances? Would I say he missed or he killed? Because I feel like that's the best way to use it. He killed the flurry of chances. I felt like putting in someone like Ziyech in that position, he would have scored.
I think Ziyech was playing in a different position.
Yes, but most times he was the one to in the second half, when in dying stages, he was the one to receive the ball when Morocco tried to hit on the counter.
Yeah.
And he always, I don't know what was exactly wrong. I don't really know, because it felt like, I feel like you're on the biggest stage in the biggest game in your career and you get that chance. This should be your, if you're about dying, this should be your last burst of energy and you should try your best to put that ball at the back of the net or put that as in fear in that goalkeeper that you are almost out, right? Well, he didn't do that.
Well, I would just say like probably a case of wrong decisions. You get probably a case of wrong decisions, wrong timing, and all of that, or the lack of energy to actually carry that out at that point in time. Because you know, if a game has been going on 0-0 first half, Then you go into the second half and it's still 0-0. And then it starts getting to like the 70th minute, progressing to the 80th minute. So yeah, like at that point in time now, the mentality to win,
Morocco.
Yeah, especially if you're playing 0-0. That's why I say, yeah, if somebody was winning, if there was a goal already, like it would have been different.
But coming to the end of the match, Spain almost won. They came as close as hitting the bar almost with Sarabia.
Almost.
Do you feel like he should have come in earlier? Because we saw that there was a tilt immediately he came in. That was in the extra time, right? They brought him in for penalty. We saw that thing happen against, we saw it in the England Italy final.
Yeah.
Where a player is not into the game yet and it's time for penalties and then you bring him. We also saw it when we watched West Ham Manchester United last season.
Yeah.
Where they brought in Mark Noble to come and play a diving penalty for him just so he can score. Because he's their most experienced player. But he wasn't into the game. And that same thing happened for Sarabia. Do you feel like he should have been brought in earlier, not just because of the penalties, but more or less because of the capability he could add for his teammates on the pitch?
I think that choice would be down to the coach, and I think he'll probably, if he watches the game, he'll probably see that, okay, maybe I should have brought this guy
earlier.
So I think that's the problem most coaches face. You know, when I think we complained about this Argentina's second game, I think, was it their second game? When we complained about Di Maria.
Yes.
And why, like, Maria kept starting even when he felt like he was not adding any. Yeah, and after noticing, you know, that this guy is not really giving what I want, he still do not remove this guy. He still leave him there to play for a long time. So these kind of things now, coaches, I think it's down to the coach. He probably did not, like I said, if you're playing 0-0. Down to the 70th, 80th minute. So, like, your mind is, okay, oh, this 0-0, what can we do? Penalty takers, warm up, let's put you guys on the pitch. Whatever happens, if it doesn't go to penalty, it's fine.
Exactly.
Like,
there's no way you'll get an injury before that 120th
minute. No, like, if it doesn't go to penalties, if we are able to still use this, our penalty takers that we have brought in and the other people that have been there, if we're able to use them to win the game, no wahala, like no problem. But if not, at least my penalty takers are on the pitch. Yes. So I feel like that's kind of mentality, like that's what he was thinking about at that time.
I felt like you know, when they talk about competency, they always talk about players, right?
Yeah.
I felt like that was also with the coach, because we agree that you don't change your tactics sometimes, right? But the way Spain played the game, they were passing like, we talked about it till the end of the game. The commentators also talked about it. And it helped them. It's their gameplay.
Yeah.
It almost led to the final goal.
Yeah.
But they were passing with this calmness and composure, like, no matter what you do, we are going to win you. You take it to extra time, we are still going to win you. The penalties, we have an icy moment now, but we are still going to win you.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case. But looking at all that, do you feel that it was a good decision to sack Luis Enrique?
I wouldn't know. I'm not the Spanish FA. Or I wouldn't know. No, I just feel, you know, now the World Cup is a short period.
Yeah.
Right. So unlike in the Premier League or La Liga, all of that you have 38 games to prove yourself or to sort of play with and find your working tactics and find a backup tactic and find backup to that backup tactic. Like you don't have that long time. You just have 1 month. You just have barely 8 games to play. You just have barely 8 games to the first 3 games is what you use to test out your tactics and still get 3 points, like 9 points, and then move. So you don't have that much time to tweak anything. If you're tweaking, like you're tweaking on the spot. So if you see how the game, but I feel most of the coaches lack that sort of like
instant correction.
Yeah. So if you're seeing what is happening on the pitch and you're seeing that the formation is not working,
yeah
you're supposed
it takes
to be
courage to do that. It takes
that's the thing. So like if you believe your players.
Yeah,
that's another thing. Like, if you believe your players, okay, I think like
you'll find their face in the game as game.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned like have your main tactic, then have backup, and then have a backup to the backup.
Yeah.
So like, if the main one is not working, and obviously you may have watched these teams play before.
Yeah.
So like before each game,
so you have an idea.
What you're playing against, so to say. So when you see that on the pitch, this thing is not actually how you thought. So, like, you're able to switch, and if you believe that your players are capable, then you should be comfortable enough to tell them, okay, you see, this 4-4-2 is not working. Let's switch to 3-5-2 or whatever. Let's switch to this. Let's pray. If the flanks are not working, be like, okay, let's try through the middle.
What if it's a Spain problem, right? Because this is the second time in the second World Cup that they are sacking a coach in and around the World Cup. When I think in and around the World Cup, like prior to the World Cup, during the World Cup, and like after the World Cup. Last time was Roberto Gui, when we heard that he accepted the Real Madrid job. And I understood that, yes, most times as a coach of a national team, you are not to coach a club. But he accepted the Real Madrid job, believing that at the end of the World Cup, he will beat the Spanish team and go to Real Madrid. But the episode is that they slap on their face and then they did what? They sacked him. And it did not go well for Spain. They reached the qualifying stages as the
round of 16. Yeah.
But they lost to penalties again. Second time. And now they brought in Luis Enrique. We know the whole issue about Luis Enrique. When he left, COVID, his daughter's death. And then after a while, he came back, had an issue with someone. But when he left, like, we actually saw the goodness of what he was doing in the team. And then he left and then he came back. And now he came back. He showed how youthful and how vibrant the Spanish team can be.
Yeah.
So sacking him felt like a crazy idea to me. But, they say most times, every good thing has a bad aspect, a captain. Do you think that creates an opportunity for teams like Juventus to hire him?
Yes, yeah,
he doesn't play Juventus style of play.
Definitely not teams like Juventus, because Juventus are going through a whole lot right now, bro. Juventus, they are going through a whole lot.
I'm looking at a scenario where they actually survive this scare and don't go for the relegation, and then they need someone to spearhead them back to the tops, compete. Do you think he can infuse that tiki-taka gameplay, that and Jenjen press into Juventus with these star players that they have?
He's
looking at Enrique now.
I think anything is possible, yeah. But I would feel it would take a while to get them back, like to take away the old style of play and get them onto a totally different...
Yeah.
Take a look at Manchester United, for example. You see how it had been going.
Even Ole Gunnar helped them a bit.
He did. Yeah, I know. It takes time. That's just the point of it. It takes time.
And you feel they won't give him that time?
That's the problem.
What's that that is not Allegri? Sorry.
No, I know, but the problem is finding someone like that you can give that time to work on this sporting project. You get so it's finding someone that you can give that time and someone that is actually willing to stay that time and not maybe when someone else calls, just runs and leaves.
All right.
Kind of like Arsenal with Arteta, you get?
Yes. Okay, so that I'm done with Spain and Enrique. That takes us to Portugal, Switzerland. The match was devastating. Like, we both predicted a draw. We're just too bad for the last games. We both predicted a draw, which most likely we saw. But surprisingly,
Yeah, no. See,
They rested Ronaldo.
For that game, I think I don't know if we said it on the
I think we said
episode,
we waited a bit on
Ronaldo starting. So like I think we said it. I don't know. I'm not sure. But when we were predicting that game, we made that statement if Ronaldo starts, it's going to be hard for Portugal to win.
And then he didn't start.
So
and Goncalo Ramos took his place and scored a hat-trick. Look, I've done a lot of hat-tricks in this World Cup since. Like, I've seen the best players play. We've seen Messi, we've seen Ronaldo.
And have the chances. Like, we've seen them play and have the chances. And they usually start at two.
And I know, but I'm not insulting, right?
Yeah, you know, but I don't know him. If see, no, that's it. Like, there's no capping.
No, most times, right? How that was it? You come from World Cup means that you are good.
Yeah,
I saw the news that some players were paid to
Cameroon, Ghana, some yeah, Cameroonian or Ghanaian players
really
had to pay money.
I don't really
to be included
know,
in the team.
No, Africa, we are bad and good at the same time. Like, sometimes we really do shit that is crazy.
Yeah.
But for you to have reached the World Cup stage, you have to be a good player. And this guy is 21 years old, playing in Benfica, meaning that
yeah,
actually a prospect. Because we all know that when you look at who that we know next.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. We're looking at Fabio Vieira. Those are recent players that came. Ruben Dias, even your goalkeeper, that's Morris.
Yeah.
Recent players that came when they were young from the
Benfica.
League.
Okay, from Portugal, yeah.
Yeah. So we see that these people actually have potential. And she shocked us. He's got a hat-trick. He has the first hat-trick in the World Cup. But now, this now leaves so many players on the radar. I don't want to talk about the game because we know how good Portugal was in the game. Credit to Portugal for being so good in that game. It showed us what the Portuguese team can offer.
But you see, this is the thing, yeah? Because I think the second half of, I think their last game,
yeah,
in the group stage, I think we still
when they took off Ronaldo,
yeah,
but we still saw that intensity.
Exactly, that's
from
the, like, fine. The they didn't put Goncalo Ramos wasn't there, yeah.
Yes.
But the fluidity of the team, like the way the passes were just, the way they were stringing passes, the way they were transitioning,
transitioning
from defense to the midfield to attack, like it was there. And I think they almost scored.
Yes,
they almost scored once or twice in that short period of time. So I think that's exactly what they brought to the game versus Switzerland. And hey, they brought in Rafael Leão and Mansell scored the smile. Like, how are you so confident that before the ball is in the post, you're already smiling because you knew it's a goal, bro?
Is that confidence that makes other clubs come by you? Honestly, because that's me, that guy is like a complete forward. He's what you want.
Like,
I look at the Portuguese team, right? And honestly, they dismantled Switzerland. I felt like Switzerland keeps going to match them blue for blue.
Yeah.
And then they removed the golden glove that they did not see coming because honestly, they knocked the knockout phase. This is the full definition of knockout.
Bruno Fernandes, man on fire. Mm.
Like, honestly, now I'm at the point where we need to really take a look at this Portuguese team without
Ronaldo. That's the thing, right? So, like, at this point now,
but how long do you think they can keep him on the
that's
bench
what I'm
before
saying.
The issues start, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, the issues have already although they will say they are rumors,
yes,
yeah, but we already started seeing
when there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, we've already started seeing all these issues. Fine, people might say camera angles and all of that, especially like when Goncalo Ramos scored the first goal and when he potentially scored a hat trick. You know, now Ronaldo is a big name, so
yes,
reporters are always looking
to see his special
journalists are always
when
looking at angles and
yes,
everything. Is he celebrating after the match? Did he join the team to celebrate? Did he go to
and
the
he
tunnel?
Left. So he said that he left because he wanted the team to have their moment.
So, regardless of whatever, like whatever angles, whatever solution, like you said, wherever there's smoke, there's fire. So we don't actually know. So now the question is, how long can this Portuguese coach stay without putting Ronaldo in the team?
Because
before
we're in the
before we hear Piers Morgan. before you go and tell your small guy
we're in
that you don't
quarterfinals, right?
understand
And this is three more games.
If they make it to the finals, yeah.
Three more games.
So at some point, Ronaldo is going to have to start. And at some point, he's going to have to collect the captain band.
And when he starts, he lose because of the talk.
Yeah, people are going to say that he's the one that made them to lose.
Because he has played three games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have 3 goals.
Nope.
For someone played one game and has 3 goals.
Funny how life
based
is.
Based on my judgment, Goncalo should start. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Funny how life is. But then again...
They're playing against Morocco, right?
Yeah, but then again, you can see, like, if... There's also the case that if they start him in the next match, he might not actually perform as he did in Switzerland.
And then they bring
in Switzerland.
Ronaldo is not ready. Like this felt like a hard game on paper.
Yeah.
In Switzerland. On paper against Morocco, despite their performance this World Cup, it seemed like an easy game for
game.
Ronaldo.
That
like,
exactly.
He will want to play that game.
But he's not the coach, and you know that, like, unlike with Argentina,
yes,
he does not have that pull on the entire team. No, that's the truth. If he had that pull that Messi has on the entire Argentine team,
yes,
that, like if he had that pull,
he can't start a match without Messi at his feet,
that kind of thing. So, like, if he had that pool, then probably we'll be talking differently right now. Because trust me, if it was Messi, when last did they bench Messi for Argentina when he was not injured?
That's a very, 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 very good question. Even when they have won the game, he plays till 90 minutes.
Exactly. So, like,
is
when last did they sub Messi off from the pitch when he was not injured?
The good aspect is that Portugal are still in the World Cup, and we still have a lot to discuss about Portugal
as
the World Cup goes on. The next break, we are not going to actually take a break that period. We're actually going to use that period to dissect and take a recap on what has happened so far.
Yeah, in the quarterfinals. Yeah.
In the World Cup from the beginning.
Okay, from the beginning,
in the semi-finals. And I'm sure that you guys will love that. But that takes us to our games for today. That's the Croatia, Brazil, and Netherlands, Argentina.
In our quest for a Brazil-Argentina semi-final, yeah, you woke me up very early in the morning and told me I should play Brazil to win 1-0 against Croatia to have a red card. What the fuck, bro? Why would you just wake up and drop that kind of prediction?
I don't know. We have been seeing some people come on timeline and say, I had a dream, I dreamt about this. That's mine.
Okay.
And
we'll find.
I've always wished to have that, right?
Mm.
To have that dream. On a normal day, I think if I'd come here, I haven't really talked about the Croatia game. I think if I've come here, the Brazilian knew, I've told you, 3-0, Brazil.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just had that feeling. I had that feeling that, okay, there'll be a red card in the game.
Okay.
For Croatia. And Brazil will win 1-0. Because, you know, once when you tell someone there'll be a red card, it's like, how would there be a red card and Brazil wins 1-0?
Yeah.
It's high chance that Brazil might score more. But still, that's how we're going to this game. We've talked about Brazil a lot. We know their formations. Now Neymar is back from injury. Definitely is going to be Vinicius, Richarlison, Rafinha, Neymar, Casemiro, Paqueta, Alessandro, Marquinhos, Thiago Silva, and our friend Danilo or Dani Alves. And going back to the post, we have Alisson Becker in the sticks. So it's basically no for no. Everybody knows how Brazil is playing. We don't really know whether they're going to tweak it or drop in Martinelli or Antony or bring. I don't want them to bring in Bruno Guimarães because he was shit the last time he played, and I don't want him to play the World Cup again. If he could not even play for Brazil again, I'll be happy. Let him go to Newcastle and honestly, because he made me cry. He made me cry in my heart. How do you miss those kind of chances? Yeah, but that's the Brazilian team for us, and they are playing against a Croatian team that are stubborn. I think that's the best way to describe Croatia.
Yeah,
they just don't want to go.
They make it hard for you to score. I feel like they know they really don't have much to offer.
Yes,
but they're like, let's just make it hard for you. Like, that's why I wouldn't actually argue with your 1-0 prediction per se, because These guys, they don't want you to score them. They are like, they're actually content with sitting back
and playing penalties.
I'm playing you to
that's what bothered the last World Cup.
Right? So, like, they're actually content, and you know, there's also like the case of age. Yes, they have some young players sprinkled in the mix, but
yeah,
take a look at Modric, take a look, so, like.
Perisic
and the rest, yeah, yeah, every and old age is creeping
against Japan. Against Japan, that we, when you look at Japan, you're like, you should score Japan at least one. But they played 0-0 with them and went to penalties to win them, and now they look to do the exact same thing that Switzerland did against Brazil. Stay defensive, don't concede.
Yeah.
And then if we can score one, good. If we can't score one, we hit them in
penalties. So like their last five matches, win, draw, win. So like, sure, if they get a win, but like they are very much well content to just let you run around the pitch for the first 45 minutes, then, come in the second half, run around the pitch for the second 45 minutes,
the next 15 minutes,
entire extra time, run around the pitch for the next 30 minutes.
I mean, at the point, right, if they can just say, okay, see, 90 minutes, we don't say, you know, score this extra time, we just go penalty sharp.
I mean, we have
Alisson Becker in post. The thing now
is, yeah, while they are watching you run around the pitch, when they get their chance, like, they will try to take it.
Yes.
So now takes all the pressure on the I'm putting on the Brazilian defense, yeah. And then Alisson, who is in the post. So like, to me, Croatia have nothing to lose in this game.
Definitely, they have nothing to lose. One thing I've seen about the Brazilian defense is that it takes a world class goal.
Yeah, like the one from Japan, South Korea.
Both Cameroon, South, a world class goal. Like, you don't call them a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has
and to be even, out I of. Think even the Cameroon own can even be excused because, like, that was not the actual backline. So, like, that can be, but, like, that South Korea own, oof.
And that goal was something. There are a lot of goals of tournaments, right? But I feel like it's going to tend to favor the winner of the tournament. Because yeah, if Brazil go on to win it, then Richarlison has to win.
Or probably who goes past
yeah,
that in the tournament, kind of yeah.
But I don't talk a lot about Brazil because I know that if you leave me, man, like, I won't talk about each player one by one. The Croatian team, we know that they're not really that young. They have a mixed blend of youth and experience all around the team, and that's actually helping them take them this far. For the correct score, I'm still going to stick with my dream. So what do you go with?
Ooh, I go with Brazil qualifying, you get.
Yes.
I don't know. Now, the question is if the correct score will enter in 90 minutes or if it would go into extra time. I think Brazil can be able to get a goal or two in like normal playing time, so I'll probably go with 2-0.
2-0,
yeah. I would want to go with a safe prediction of 2-1, but I'll just go with 2-0.
I feel like if I'm playing any correct score like online, I'll play in, you said 2-0, right?
Yeah.
I think I'll be playing either 1-0 or 2-0 or 2-1, because as we said, we know how stubborn the Croatian team is. I don't really think they're going to score Brazil.
Yeah.
What can I say? They can always pull out the rabbit from the hat and
something
like that. And that brings us to the last game of today, and I feel like the most important game of
very important
today.
Very important.
Which fixture do you think is more important? No, I'm not saying more important. It's more looks out for. Last time these two teams met was in the semi-final in 2015.
Yeah.
And then it's not removed them to go on to the final and lose to Germany.
Which was sad.
Very sad. And in that same mix, Brazil was playing against Germany in semi-finals also, while Argentina was playing Netherlands in the semi-finals. That's three teams from that World Cup semi-finals.
Yeah,
all
facing each other.
So this game and then England-France, which do you think actually have that much nature?
You see, this question I'm going to answer on a personal level.
Yeah.
And on a personal level, I really don't give a fuck about England, France. Yeah, so on a personal level, I'm more invested in the Argentina game.
Yeah.
So for Argentina, Netherlands, I would say that is the most important, that's the most important fixture that we have
for the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Because we want Messi to go to the next round. Any other person can go home. Any other person can go. We want Messi to progress. At this point, we want Brazil to progress too.
Yeah.
So it will be down to the semi-final game. Yeah. But we just want both of them to progress. Then we'll figure it out later.
That's the important thing now. We're at that point where I just now sit back and watch Brazil. And in Brazil qualified, they're like, oh shit, all right, so I play, but we have to win this team. We have to play Brazil again. Like this South American counterparts, they have dominated football for a very long time, and they don't look like they're stopping anytime
soon.
Well, it seems like if you take out Messi from Argentina's squad,
yeah,
he won't be able to compete in the highest level again. Or do you think it's going to be like the exact same way when they were losing Maradona, Messi came up? As Messi is going out, another player is going to come up again.
I wouldn't think about it like that. I would just say they're actually young talents, right? They're actually young talents in the team.
Yes.
The question now would be adapting to playing without Messi. So it's like at this point, we know that, yeah, they are going to lose
the best player.
They're going to lose the best player in the world and like a high level of creativity.
And the highest level of creativity.
But I think that's going to open a Pandora's box of opportunities for them. Yeah. It's
them sucking the coach.
It's going to open a box of opportunities for them to say, okay, we can now tweak the gameplay to be more accepting of probably like different rules and all of that. So like we can now do this. Now we don't have Messi. Like we can find another support system for how we play. So I feel they'll feel the effects. I mean, bro. Take a look at Barcelona. Imagine losing the best player in the world, bro. Like, not best player based on goals and all of that. In everything. So take a look at Real Madrid when they lost Benzema for how many days? how many weeks? And it was as if they
lost 1 year to Barca.
Losing Benzema, you can imagine. So that kind of thing, like, it's going to take a while, definitely. It's going to take a while for them to get used to. Because,
yeah.
I mean, since when? 3 World Cups ago or 2 World Cups, like, it's that far back.
Since 2006.
So that's a really long time, bro.
Longevity is something many put up. That's 16 years. That's like 4 World Cups.
Like, that's a long time. So, they also need a long time to
He actually retired 2014.
And then came back
for two
won Copa America. And now he's in the one finalism, and now he's in the World Cup. And
what if it is for Messi? He wins World Cup, he retires from international football.
Definitely. Because
you shouldn't try and push for breaking the international goal barrier.
Breaking what again? Man should take his World Cup trophy medal and go and rest, bro. Like, no, see, at this point, I feel like that's all that's left to play for.
For Messi's career.
For Messi's career. Because, yo, he's in League One. At the end of the
day, 7 Ballon d'Ors without any World
Cup. Like, at the end of the day, he's going to win Ligue 1.
Yeah, seven Ballon d'Ors without any World Cup. Imagine he wins it.
So, like, at the end of the day, he's going to win Ligue 1. That's almost a certainty.
I'm just
at the end of the day, exactly. At the end of the day, he's probably still going to win Trophy de Champs.
Messi having the highest trophy in football.
So, like, probably has those two trophies in the bag. Champions League is still there. if they win Champions League, that's like three other trophies waiting for him.
Spark up
and Club World Cup waiting for him to win. So,
trophies brings trophies, man. That has to go for you.
There are a flurry of opportunities.
You want to talk about the Netherlands team?
The Netherlands team. Hey, this particular game is going to be biased.
Yeah.
So regardless of how good these guys have been, their last game, it was their fullbacks that carried them. And
do you really think that they're going to be able to do that against? Because one thing about the Argentine team, though, I've seen those that are huge against them.
Yes,
and you can't still win the headers. Mm. It's crazy. You can't score them. You are bigger than them. You can't score them with headers. Then they are smaller than you, and they just move through you and score. So now we're seeing Messi against Van Dijk one more time. That's been a long time.
Last time
we saw Van Dijk, he turned into a choir conductor.
Yeah.
But now he has Buhed Aki. He's ready to run. But I don't know. I have this bad taste. I feel like it's not really going to end that well for Netherlands. And I see a draw, honestly. Mm. I see a draw, but still see Argentina.
I didn't think that would
That's the thing. Because if you go on a penalty shootout against Argentina, as good as Noppet is, as long as he is.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that the reason why Argentina won their Copa America was because of they won their penalty shootouts.
Yep.
And in that penalty shootout, Martinez scored three penalties. That was crazy. We are actually hailing Bono for going ahead to catch us. And then last one, he followed with his bubbles. This guy, he actually saved three penalties, and he was the goalkeeper of the tournament when Argentina carried the Copa America. And now here are the Conquerors back again, lost their first match and then won every other one after that till this stage. Correct call, Williams. Netherlands, Argentina. How do you see it?
Netherlands, Argentina.
I feel like you repeat the teams again to inspire yourself or something.
Like I already said, it's going to be biased. So
okay,
I'm going with Argentina to qualify.
All right,
I feel they can actually do it in
the 90 minutes
if they pick the right set of players. Now at this point, we don't really know the right set of players, but Julian Alvarez should be included. Julian Alvarez should be included.
Makalita should be there. Enzo Fernandez should be there. Rodrigo De Paul, De Boer should be there.
So like the question now will be, who would play on the wing per se?
You feel like today's the ballast?
This is the kind of match that would actually
Dybala
feature this is that kind of match where this guy has not played three four World Cup matches. Put him in this match, let him prove himself. But anyway, I'm going with Argentina to win anyway, 2-1.
2-1, I have the exact same thing on my mind. So yeah, you said 2-1 now, right?
Yeah.
I just need to ask a question because exactly that's what I had on my mind. And today I feel that feeling of going to go and play the correct scores today. So I'm actually going to play them. But do you feel that they have a working formula? When I say working formula, I mean like that Cristiano Romero, Otamendi or Luciano Martinez partnership to handle Cody Gakpo. We didn't really see him in the last game.
Trust me, at this point, I will bank on Lisandro Martinez. No, it's
really for me.
It will be when he comes to Premier League. Yeah,
you can
do nonsense. But right now,
that tackle is in your mind.
That game showed that like. If you make the right calls, like it can work for you.
Yeah.
So I feel this game, Alessandro Martinez has to start this game because, like, I feel he'll be able to match.
How is Otamendi still starting?
Nobody knows.
I think he's not good, right?
Yeah, I know.
Somebody when Benfica played against PSG, they were demonic.
Yeah.
And that was like Otamendi against Mbappe, Neymar, and Messi at the same time. And PSG didn't win the game. They win the game against them. They topped the group, right? They topped PSG in that group.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That showed how crazy good that their defense and attack was. Right? So, 2-1 correct score. We're expecting Croatia and the Netherlands to take an exit in today's stage of the quarterfinals. Yeah, so, and that will then take us until tomorrow, looking at England, France, the Battle of the Conquerors, and then Portugal against Morocco. Yes. What do you?
Well, I say let me go and take a look at correct score options. And Netherlands, Argentina, 1-2, that's like 9-odd. 9-whooping-odd, bro! Ah! These are correct scores that we've been hitting subtly. We've been hitting, or we've been close to hitting.
Yeah.
Let me. I think that was for Netherlands, Argentina. Let me go take a look at the 1-0 that you predicted for Croatia, Brazil.
Small. I think it's not.
Yeah, it's small. Actually small, like 6-odd.
Yeah.
Or so. Yeah, 6.40, and then the 2-0 I predicted 6-odd. So if you
1-0 is what?
The 1-0 is 6.4.
And
the 2-0 is 6-odd. And if you combine the 1-0 with the 2-1, that gives you 62 odds. Just two correct scores. 62 odds.
Today's the day. Today's the day. I feel it in my bones.
Alright. So, if you were to play these games, would you play them single or would you play them together? Singles,
definitely,
yeah.
Singles.
All right. You don't have big eyes.
I don't have big eyes.
Because if you had big eyes with 500, that's like 30k. But yeah, with singles, that's probably 4-5 and like 3,000.
Yeah.
If you're playing them 1-1 with like 500, that's like 400-500, 600. But
when we decide to really,
yeah, I'm just gonna take a screenshot of this, and I don't know, should we post it on Twitter?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, well, our correct scores are in. I think we are still stuck on 99. Okay, oh, I crossed the 100 barrier. Yeah, 102, while you are at 99. Well, today will probably be the day we actually break into the
final. It's all on the correct scores, because right now we're breaking the same thing.
Yo,
it's all on the correct scores.
Okay. Well, this is the end of today's episode. Yeah, on the World Cup series on your favorite podcast, Not Just Sports. We'll see you guys next time. Did you enjoy the podcast you just listened to? If you did, tap the follow button and turn on our notification so you don't miss out on any of our episodes. See ya!